The author of this article made this statement. He said, most of us live our lives in quiet desperation. Most of us live our lives in quiet desperation. I didn't know what he meant. Fortunately, later in his article, he defined quiet desperation. He said, quiet desperation is fear or insecurity. And I guess I believe that. I guess I believe that it's always been that way. I believe that we live our lives with a certain degree of insecurity. I guess we all struggle at times with doubt and worry and fear and anxiousness. I guess that's true. I guess it's always been true. But we can set aside all of my guessing and say this: God has encouraged us in His Word not to be that way. God has encouraged us in His Word to be bold, to be active, to be fearless in spreading the gospel of His Son. In fact, someone determined there was over 200 verses in the New Testament alone, 200 contexts where God is encouraging His people not to worry, not to get caught up in things, not to be afraid, not to be anxious. And my first thought was that time when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. You remember, they had been in bondage for hundreds of years, and everything seemed to be going fairly well. Then all of a sudden, they became trapped between Pharaoh's ensuing armies behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And you remember what God instructed Moses to say? Don't be afraid. Can you imagine that? The armies of the enemy behind you, the Red Sea in front of you, and God says, don't be afraid. But Moses continued saying, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Red Sea parted, and they walked through on dry ground. In the Sermon on the Mount, you probably remember Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, don't worry. He didn't say, don't worry, be happy, but I like that anyway. But He said, don't worry. He said, worry is not what God wants you to do. If you want to read the specific verses, that's Matthew 5, 26 and 27. 25, 26 and 27. And then the passage I want to use as our text this morning. I think this is one of our favorite passages. Peter, who has lived through all of this persecution, Peter, who has lived through all of this difficulty since Jesus has passed on and ascended back into heaven, Peter says, cast all your cares upon God, for He cares for you. You know, that's just some of the things that the Bible says to us. I don't like to use this phraseology too often, and I like to explain it as I go, but that's what He has said to our heart. You remember the phraseology, I will write your words on my forehead and on my heart. That's what He wants written on our heart. Don't worry about something. Don't stress over something. Don't lose sleep over something. Instead of that, trust God. Now, that sounds simple, does it not? To not worry about the cares of the world. That sounds so simple. That sounds like something anyone could do. But I'll assure you, it is not that simple. And that's why we see in our society, and we need to pray daily for our society, that's why we see so much fear and anxiousness and trepidation. And if they want to turn to the world to find comfort from their worries, they've turned to the wrong place. There's only one place to turn, and that is to turn to God, because God cares. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. David writes, I will lie down and rest, For you, O Lord, gives me peace. That's why we love the 23rd Psalm so very much. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for God is with us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with us. He'll protect us. His rod and his staff comfort us. Now, what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying, when there's a storm out here, make sure we've got God in here. God wants to comfort us, and he mentions that in his Bible. Now, we mentioned the crossing of the Red Sea. Moses was speaking for God. He said, don't be afraid. Okay, years now have passed, and they're about to enter into Canaan. Remember, they had sent out the spies, and they came back with an unfaithful report. So they have now spent years wandering in the wilderness. They're about to inherit the land flowing with milk and honey. Back here, they were told, don't be afraid. Now that they're entering into Canaan, they're told the same thing. Don't be afraid. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God, he is the one that goes in with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That was the constant promise of God's people of the Old Testament. And brethren, we've missed the boat if we don't realize that's the constant promise of God's people today. In fact, the Hebrew penman quotes that saying, God will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. A number of years ago, a group of psychologists came together, and they were talking about things that give us a degree of peace of mind. They determined that if you play with a little puppy, it makes you feel good. Or if you visit with the grandkids, it makes you feel good. They also determined just talking about God makes you feel good. I don't know, it was either endorphins or something that are released in our brain, and it just gives us a piece of security. Just thinking about God relieves our stress. And brethren, isn't that what church is all about? Coming together to think about God, and when we sing about God, and our prayers are to God, and the sermon is to God. In fact, the fellowship is even because we are fellow heirs of God. We need to remind ourselves, regardless of what's going on in the world, God loves us. And God's desire is to protect us. That's what God is. He is our heavenly Father. He is the creator of everything there is. He is the sustainer of our life. He is the ultimate power that there has ever been. And he's our Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. That should be our focus every day. And when things are not going good in our life, and things don't always go good in our life, we need to remember how much we love God and how much he loves us. Isaiah 26, verse 3, God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds, those whose thoughts are steadfast and trust in him. However, here's another one of those big howevers. It's not just what we think. It's not just what we feel. It's not even just what we believe. In order to be free from doubt and anxiety, we need to remember that God cares for us. God loves us. He wants to protect us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to shield us from worry and anxiety and other things that rob us of our peace. I remember hearing a sermon several years ago now. It must have been good. I still remember what the preacher said. He said, with God on our side, never allow anyone to rob us of our peace. And brethren, that's true. In fact, what is Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Isaiah 9, verse 6. From my youth, I remember this poem. I had to look it up on the internet, but I still remembered it. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be. They do not have a heavenly Father like the one that cares for you and me. And brethren, wasn't that the emphasis of Jesus' teaching? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this love shall all men know you're my disciples indeed. Isn't that what Paul was writing about to the Corinthians when he said, now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love? Isn't that the consistent teaching of the Bible? Jesus used this wonderful illustration. He used us parents. He said, you know how good it is to give good gifts to your children? Even more so, the gifts that God supplies to his children. Matthew 7, verse 9 and 11. I don't mean to embarrass him. I wrote this in before I knew Henry was going to be here today. Henry has this little word he loves to use, and Linda and I love to use that word with each other, and it reminds us how much we love him. The word is scary. He'll say, that man's scary. Or that person's scary. Well, the world is scary. He's right. The world in which we live is scary. And I appreciated so much the prayer. It's not going to affect my generation that much. But this generation is going to live in a very, very scary world. And we need to lay the foundation of faith, hope, and love for them to follow. If our generation fails, and our children's generation fails, God's word will be lost to this world, because we're already outnumbered and outshouted and outhated and out disrespected. We must band together. The world feels afraid. We need to point them to Jesus. The world is anxious and filled with worry. We need to point them to Jesus. And seldom do I state it this way in a public forum, but if I'm talking about you and your life is filled with worry and trepidation and fear, then you need to turn your life over to Jesus. He will defeat those foes. He will give you firm setting. Turn your cares over to him. He cares for you. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus gave this promise. I'll be with you always, even to the very end of the world. But let me tell you in closing how serious Jesus is, or how serious God is about us. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, even while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. That's how much God loves us. But let's don't stop in Romans 5, 8. Let's also read verse 9. God has accepted us because of Jesus' sacrifice. There's a song in our songbook. I have tried to lead it a few times. It's just not in my mind. But it reminds me exactly of what we've said in the lesson today. It says, God loves, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave up his life. What more can he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Let's show our love for him as well. If you're a Christian, pray God for strength, for encouragement. Let your light shine before men. Let them glorify God through your example. If you've never rendered obedience to what we call the primary principles of the gospel, if you've heard and believe what you've heard, you're ready to change your life, maybe greatly or maybe simply, whatever stands between you and the Lord, you're willing now to give up. You're ready to acknowledge that He's your only hope to be saved. You're ready to start over by being born of the water and of the Spirit. Or if for any other reason, if you will, just come up here and have a seat. And I'll be with you in just a moment. We'll sing all of the verses of number 894. Won't you come as we stand together and sing?